in the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation, verses 10 to 12. We'll read those again. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." I draw attention to verse 11 especially. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The overcomers, they overcame. After Satan is cast out in this vision, John now hears another loud voice in heaven. Verse 10. It is clear it is not the voice of one person merely, because as you carefully read it, you will notice that there are plural pronouns. And so it is the voice of a number of persons. Our God, the voice says. Our brethren. It is a choir. It is a group of persons who are singing this triumphant hymn unitedly with one heart and with one voice. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about heaven. There is a unique oneness. Always there seems to be one voice. Yes, there are the many voices, that is recognized, but there is such harmony, such unity. There is no discord. There are no different voices. So much so that when a whole lot of people sing, it sounds like one voice. You can't even get that on the earth. A choir never sounds like one voice on the earth. There's always some sort of discord. There's always some sort of lacking of harmony. But in heaven, there is a perfect unity, a wonderful togetherness. Satan's attempts to sow discord in the church below always have some success. But in heaven, and he tried it as the accuser of the brethren even there, he is without success. He is cast out, and whatever he did in heaven, in regard to the accusation of saints, he failed in sowing discord among them there. The voice remains one, no matter what the devil did. So heaven is the place of perfect harmony, of wonderful unity. No sin defiles, and no sin divides. For there is no sin there, even as now there is no Satan there. And the Lord Jesus Christ's intercessory prayer is perfectly heard. That the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. One God, one divine voice, and now one church triumphant, united as the body of Christ, one voice. I heard a great voice saying. And that's what forms this choir. It is made up of redeemed men. I think it must be the saints, because they say, our brethren. Brethren is a term that identifies the children of adoption. Brethren is a term that marks out the family of God. Brethren is a term that shows that they who sing are the children of the Lord and the younger brethren of the great elder brother, Jesus Christ. I think the choir is, in actual fact, the 24 elders that surround the throne and who represent the church of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, the 12 patriarchs, the 12 apostles, the 24 elders representing the body, singing this song triumphant. And that's what the song is. It's a song of victory. It is a voice of triumphant celebration. Something wonderful has happened that has caused it to go forth. And what is that? It is that Christ has died. It is that the child that was born ascended up on high, having obtained the victory, having gone through death, atoned for sin, having been raised from the dead by the power of God and lifted up into glory. This is what has taken place. This is what has happened. The devil has been defeated. Calvary has obtained the triumph. And Christ is the victor. He overcame principalities and powers. He overthrew them all. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. And the devil and his angels are cast out. Christ is overcome as the seed of the woman. And through that great person and work of Jesus, he has all power in heaven and on earth. And mighty things are happening now because he reigns. We read about it there in verse 10. Now has come salvation. Men are getting saved now. The blessings of grace are going amongst the nations. Salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Salvation is on the way because Christ has ascended and he's on the right hand of God. Great things are taking place and the voice of triumph goes forth. Not only has salvation come, but there's strength now. There's power now. Saving power. Sanctifying power. Power to raise the dead. The Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me. This is what has happened. This is the song of triumph. The kingdom of our God is come. The church is going out amongst the nations. And the grace of God is descending among peoples and multitudes. And the Lord is sending out his Spirit to all men and women of different tongues, having poured out upon them on the day of Pentecost in symbol the gift of tongues, so that the gospel may go forth into all the corners of the earth, and the kingdom grow and advance, and the power of his Christ. That's the age we're in now. The power of Christ. The power of him as the Lord's anointed at the right hand of God. The power of him as our prophet. The power of him as our priest. The power of him as our king. And the accuser of the brethren defeated, his head crushed, his power diminished. And so, the triumph of Christ. But not only Christ overcame and triumphs, the brethren do as well. Because we read concerning them in verse 11, our text. They overcame him, that is, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb. So saints and martyrs are obtaining the victory as well. The song is going up. Christ has triumphed. The head has conquered. And the body will overcome as well. And so the saints here are the overcomers. And this is why the song goes up. Because the church will triumph. They overcame. And so here we have the overcomers that I want to leave before you tonight. The saints, they overcame. They won the day. They got the victory. Every one of them at the last. They make heaven at the end. They persevered and continued. And like their Lord, triumph. Remember how the Savior said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But don't let that worry you. Don't let that take away your good cheer. Don't let that cause you to be defeated. Yes, you will face the tribulation. The body still remains on the earth, but the head, I have overcome the world. And if the head has overcome, he will ensure that his body shall overcome as well. They overcame. They overcame. You remember that when we studied the seven letters in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this book, we saw at that time this important verb, overcome. We looked at the seven promises that were contained at the end of each of the letters. Each promise beginning with the same expression, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And then it is added seven times at the end of each letter, to him that overcometh will I, and their promises. And we looked at all those promises. Each church had a different promise. But all the saints get them all, the whole package. But each promise was divided out evenly amongst the seven churches, representative of the whole body of Christ. The number of perfection in the symbolic numbering of the churches. They were literal churches, but there were a lot more churches that weren't given letters and weren't addressed. Seven is representative of the whole body in every age. The promises of Jesus Christ to the overcomers. To him that overcometh. That's what a Christian is. Only overcomers get to heaven. Him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Every saint is an overcomer. They overcame. To him that overcometh, he'll not be heard of the second death. That's every Christian. Because every Christian is an overcomer. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the manna. The hidden manna, the secret manna. And I'll give him a white stone. And a new name. Nobody will know that name except him himself. To him that overcometh. Will I give power over the nations? To him that overcometh, I'll confess his name before my Father. And on it goes. Every Christian has these promises. They overcome. They have their falls, by the way, that is true. They have their battles and strifes. They have their ups and their downs. They have their defeats on occasions. It's not all plain sailing as they live in this world of tribulation. At times, the waters seem to engulf them. They have strifes to face, but victory and perseverance for every saint is sure and certain. They shall triumph at the end. They shall finish the battle. They shall overcome the wicked one. They shall enter into the glory. They shall partake of the heavenly inheritance and taste in fulfillment to their utter, unspeakable joy, the promises to them who have overcome. They overcame. This is the church. This is the believer. You'll overcome. You who believe in Jesus, you'll have your dark days. You'll have your down days. But you'll triumph. You'll certainly overcome. Notice that their triumph is over Satan. For it says they overcame him. Him. As if he is the arch enemy. Christians have many enemies. They have much opposition. They have many who oppose them. But the chief enemy is Satan. And all other enemies are just tools in his hand. Just his instruments that he uses. He is Leviathan, the chief of the wicked, the captain of the ungodly. He uses sin. He uses sinners. And while sin is our enemy and sinners are our enemies, Satan uses these things. And he is the great enemy of the saint. You should never forget that. Know your enemy. Don't think it's someone you meet in the street. Don't think it's someone who is at the workplace giving you a hard time. Don't think it's all orchestrated by him or her. They're just a tool. They're just in the darkness of the kingdom of Satan. They're just selected by the wicked one to be his instrument and his tool. So don't develop a hatred for the instruments of Satan. Satan is your great enemy. And those tools are his slaves. Slaves like you. Slaves that you should pity. Slaves that you should desire the mercy of God would set free. So you should not look upon them with bitter hatred. As our Lord Jesus Christ has said, love your enemies. He never said love Satan. Don't love Satan. He is the arch enemy. But all your enemies that he uses in their darkness and unbelief, we must love. We must pray for, because our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to do this. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that's who your enemy is. They overcame the adversary. They overcame him. The warfare is real. You have an adversary, Satan. He has enmity and malice against all light, against all who shine the light, against all who profess the light by your identification with light. He comes to you as the enemy, and you will do battle. But you will triumph and overcome. Remember how the Lord said to Simon? Now Simon had his own pride and his own arrogance and his own self-confidence, and he had many problems. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. You remember how he is depicted as standing at the right hand of Joshua the high priest. In Zechariah chapter 3, Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing too at his right hand. At his right hand, he's as close as that. Right beside him, as he represents God as the high priest. He's as close as that. The Lord is at hand. But also the Satan is at hand too. You remember Job? Where are you coming from, Satan? Oh, I'm just coming from to and froing about the earth, looking here and there and yonder. I know where you've been, Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? You've been at his right hand. And Satan wants to get very close to Job. Very close to his home, very close to his property, very close to his person. That's how close he comes. The warfare is continuous. The warfare is persistent and ongoing. You shall get many knocks. You will face many temptations. You will have many persecutions. Many snares will be sown. But the child of God shall make heaven the haven of rest at the end of the journey, for they shall overcome him. They're kept, you see. God's people are kept. They're the body of Christ. They're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. No weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. It will hit them. It will do some damage. But it shall not have the ultimate victory. Every tongue that rises against them, and many tongues will rise against them, but they shall be utterly condemned in the judgment. They shall overcome. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. They overcame him. Remember how Jude wrote his epistle? Times of apostasy, times of church and conflict with Satan and the world. And Jude has to write his epistle. And as he writes his epistle, he addresses them as those that are sanctified by God. But he also addresses them as those who are preserved. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Kept. They'll overcome, for they are preserved. Didn't we read Psalm 37? How that the steps of a good man are kept and ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, that'll happen. He's just a sinner, saved by grace. He may at times fall, but he'll not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The seed of the wicked will be cut off. But he does not forsake his saints. And they are preserved forever. Psalm 37. Hannah prayed and sung. Oh, she had a hard time. She had one in the very house to distress her and attack her and malign her and abuse her. But she was brought to sing. He will keep the feet of his saints. They overcame him. How this triumph is obtained is described for us in the text. There are causes and reasons for this victory. the song tells the reasons of their overcoming. Three are referred to. The blood of the Lamb, first of all, the word of their testimony, and the fact that they did not love their lives to the death. These are the three causes of victory. The ultimate cause, of course, is the first. This is the one that procures the victory. No victory at all without this. No victory and triumph without their Savior, Jesus Christ. They overcame because He overcame. They overcame because He died and shed His blood. That is the foundation stone of our triumph. We are saved and kept by the grace of our Lord Jesus. No victory without the captain of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for taking the saints out of the devil's kingdom in the first place. He delivered them who were the captives of Satan. These brethren were in the kingdom of darkness at one time. They were in bondage. They were chained in the dungeon. But the Lord Jesus Christ delivered them. The Lord Jesus Christ broke down Satan's kingdom and set them free. He brought them out of the prison house of sin. He redeemed them by His blood. He translated them out of the kingdom of darkness. He brought them into His own kingdom of light. He brought them into the arena of victory. He did this by His incarnation, to have a body. And by His death, to rend His body and to shed His blood, the blood of the Lamb. He is the substitute, the one who stood in their place and in their stead. He has obtained the victory, and He'll keep them. They'll overcome. The accuser of the brethren cannot win. As much as he accuses, who shall lay charge to God's elect? Who shall put anything on their account? God has justified them. Who is he that will condemn them? It is Christ that has died for them. Yea, he has risen also for them. He is at the right hand of God for them. He ever lives to make intercession for them. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That blood delivered them. That blood keeps them. Not just keeps them, more than keeps them. They're not just kept. They overcome. That's altogether different. That's obtaining victory. That's not just being preserved from defeat. That's obtaining the victory. That's obtaining the triumph. You know, in the Second War, Britain stood undefeated. But that's not the victory. Dunkirk, the Battle of Britain, Fortress Britain, was not the end. Undefeated is not enough. You don't win by being undefeated. Victory and triumph over Nazi Germany was the overcoming of Britain over her enemies. That's what God promises His people. Not that they'll just be undefeated, but that they'll triumph, be victors, have crowns of victory and laurels of victory and songs of victory. Thanks be to God. which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. They overcame him. And so it's not that just their enemies don't tread them down. Yeah, they tread down the wicked one. The wicked one is ashes under their feet. They shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The God of peace shall shortly bruise Satan under your feet. They have triumph. We have to remember this, child of God. And it's the cross that did it all. We have to keep coming back to the cross. Satan's greatest weapon is our sin and our sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ deals with them. And we must keep near the cross. We must keep focusing on the price that has been paid. We must never cease to draw comfort from what we have in our living head, to whom we have been joined by faith, in whom we have died, and in whom we are risen and alive. In our union to Christ, all that has happened to him has happened to us, and as he has overcome, so must we in him. We must never cease to remember the completeness of our redemption in the one in whom we trust and believe. The devil's accusations are a powerful thing. And as he comes and accuses, what can we do and what can we say? We have no answer. If Christ has not died for our sins, we have no answer if the Lord Jesus has not shed his blood and it's all sufficient for the forgiveness of all our sins. This is our hope. This is the gospel. This is what gives us the triumph through faith. He torments us because of the guilt of our sin. But we remember guilt no longer clings to the saints because sin has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Atonement has been made. And saints are justified and made righteous in Christ. A secondary cause is the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I think two things are meant by this. It is not so clear, this phrase. But we could first emphasize the word. They overcame him by the word. The word here then can be taken as the word of God itself, though as we see, it is the word of God in a certain format. But it is ultimately the word of God, the word of promise, the scriptures that reveal the gospel, that tell us of the blood of the Lamb, that tell us of the Savior. And so the Bible is not outside this song of triumph. We never triumph without Christ, but yet neither did we triumph without the Bible, without the Word, without the light of the gospel. This is the weapon of our warfare and overcoming. Remember how Paul was so often saying it, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God nonetheless to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. Casting down imaginations, working in the area of the mind and of philosophy and of propositions and truth. We have a weapon in that arena. It is the truth, the word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You remember John wrote to the believers and he says, I've written unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Why did they overcome the wicked one? Well, he goes on to say, because you're strong. And why are they strong? The word of God abides in you. That's how they overcame. What would we be without our Bibles? What would we be without the preaching of the word? Without the ministry of the gospel? What would we be? We'd be defeated, we'd be despairing, we'd be depressed, we'd be downtrodden. The word. But notice it is not just the word, but it is the word of their testimony. The testimony here is their witness. The word of their witness. So it's not just the word on its own. It's not just the word, as it were, they carry the Bible under their arms. They have it in their house. No, it's a word out of the mouth. The word of witness. The word that they witness, that they testify, that they confess. This is where we get the word martyr from. Martyrs are people who are prepared to die for their confession of faith. And so the reference is to the word confessed, the word believed, the word experienced, the word coming out of the mouth and out of the life. This is a reference to their faith. The word that is mixed with faith. That's the problem, you see. Very often the word is not mixed with faith, and they're unbelievers. But when the word is mixed with faith in the heart, it comes out as witness, as testimony, as confession. And this is how the believer overcomes, by that word that is in him, and he believes, and he confesses. It is the confession of their faith. Their own witness, their own saying all the time, I believe. Not just going by feelings, not just drifting through life, but by saying, I believe. I can't do this because I believe. I can't give in to this temptation because I am Christian. Christ has died for my sins. I can't go down that road. It is the word lived, the word used. It is being able to say to Satan, it is written. As the Lord Jesus Christ overcame by the word of his testimony, he said to the devil all the time, it is written. So it wasn't just the word. It was the word witnessed to. It was a word he testified to in the face of the devil. It's scripture believed. That is how the Christian overcomes Satan. By speaking, by confessing, by saying, it is written, or I believe. You remember Joseph in the house of Potiphar? Potiphar's wife and all of that. What did he say? He opened his mouth. He had a witness. He had a faith. He had a confession. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The word of his testimony. He overcame. And so that means faith, conviction, assurance. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. I cannot do this. I cannot go to that place where Satan will defeat me and bring me down. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. The word of their testimony. And so by saying in all these times, whenever we would be down in the dumps and down in the mud, we have to say, I am a Christian. Christ is my Savior. How can I despair? How can I give in? I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see, it's not just carrying a Bible. It's not just knowing the Bible. It's witnessing it. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's the overcomers. Telling Satan the word of God. Pleading the promises. Saying, I believe it. Telling the enemy of your soul, here it is. Telling yourself it. Speaking to your own heart. Telling your conscience especially it. It is saying, I see now. How can I live like a blind man? It's saying, I have been redeemed. How can I live like a slave in bondage? Overcoming by the word of your testimony. Tell Satan you're redeemed. Tell him you're bought with blood. Tell him you belong to Jesus Christ. Tell him you're a member of his body. And you're joined to him, the head. And you'll never let him go. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Even the world with all its darkness and with all its might, whatever is born of God overcomes that. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith.